See you this morning, each one of you. It's a thrill to be back with you. I think of you often, and we appreciate you very much. And it's just my joy to be with you. And we just thank the Lord for you, and that we have come to know one another over the years. I remember being in Cherokee, and you people being in Cherokee, and years ago we'd meet Rupert in Cherokee and different places, and always good to see him and Betty, and we're just thankful for our friendship and fellowship over the years. There's many things we thank the Lord for, and He does raise up friendships, and we thank the Lord for. Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah 24, and a few moments we'll look at this passage of Scripture. I've come to realize, and I know that you have too, that what we have, the Lord has given unto us. And when you think of spiritual things and what the Lord does, He's the giver. And what we have, he gives. The blessings that we have, He's the giver of them. Spiritual things, we look to everything that we have. And one of the verses in the Scripture that reminds us of this, it says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, comes to us. And we ought to give Him the thanks, give Him the praise, and worship Him. We find this verse here in the 24th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, verse number 7. It says, I will give them a heart to know me. And that's God saying that. He says, I'm going to give a people. Everybody doesn't know God. A lot of people think they do, but yet they don't know God, the God of this Bible. But He says, here, I'm going to give them a heart to know me. Now, I ask you, what is the greatest knowledge that we could have? I knew a man one time, and he was such a brilliant person and had such a memory that he said that he knew 300 hymns. Every verse of 300 hymns by memory. That blows my mind. But he had such an intellect. And he was a teacher in Bible school. And I always thought it's sort of funny, though. Here's a man that had such a memory, and he could, I mean, he could talk about things that's happened in the 14th, 15th, 16th century that I'd never heard of. But he would sit at his desk and had his bookcase, had books saying about this high. He'd even sit in front of him and talk over it. I never could quite understand all that. But what is the greatest knowledge? What's the most important knowledge that we could have? And it's this right here, isn't it? I'll give them a heart to know me. John the 17th chapter, and that great chapter the Lord as he prays to the Father. And just what a wonderful chapter that it is. And you would think that if you was among our Lord and close to him, and what a thrill it would be that you'd hear him pray. Well, it's recorded for us, isn't it? Notice what he says in verse number 3 of the 17th chapter. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's life eternal. And here he says, I'll give them a heart to know me. I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. There's a blindness among men, and it comes with that of nature. They live and they move and they're in God's world, but yet they don't know him and not aware of him. That's what sin has done. That a man can live in God's world, and yet we see that as he lives here, that he doesn't know God. And he can't find him out. God has to reveal himself. And I thought of another verse as I was pondering this. It's found in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. And we see Paul on Mars Hill. And he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that you all things you're too superstitious. That's something that we find about man, isn't it? He's very superstitious. He said, I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And they had set up, as you know, there different gods. And if they left one out, they decided to put one up for the unknown God. And I suggest to you today that he still to so many, he's unknown. And it tells us here, a heart, I'll give them a heart to know me. If you have that heart today, be thankful. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. And he goes on in Acts and he said, God, he has made the world and all things therein. Now, what's man's thinking on this? It's right the opposite of that, isn't it? But Paul's going to describe him to us. He's seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Well, that's one of the things the world thinks about him, that he needs something. God Almighty that has everything. They think they can help him out. I've heard people say, and I remember years ago, the saying, he has no hands but your hands. He has no feet but your feet. But here it tells us that he giveth to all life. That's what he's given you. You're here today. You have life. He's given it to you. Not only that, but breath. An old pastor friend of mine, years ago, and I don't know where Brother Rupert ever knew Brother Irvin Wallace or not. I don't know where he did or didn't. But he used to have a saying, he just gives you two nostrilfuls of air at a time. That's all that you have. And here it tells us that he giveth all life and breath. And just think about it. That's what we have, isn't it? Two nostrils full at a time. And you get another two, and another two. You keep breathing. And he says he's made of one blood all nations of men. Now, I worked in the hospital several years. And if they gave blood, they didn't wonder where it came from. All they needed to know was the type. Says he's made of blood all nations. One blood, all nations to dwell on the face of the earth. Notice this also here as we look into this passage of scripture. He has determined the times before appointed. Now why are you here at this particular time? Why am I here at this particular time? Because there's a time God's appointed for you. Isn't that what it says? He's determined the times before appointed. Now, why are you in this neck of the woods? Goes on, he says, he has set the bounds of their habitation. Isn't it strange? And one way of thinking, when you think about all of this, and you think about life, why am I where I am? Why am I here at this particular time? Why wasn't I here 1,000 years before now? Or come 1,000 years later? It's because God's determined it, isn't it? He's determined it, and he set the bounds of our habitation. It's in his hands. Now, get back to our text. There's a blindness among men of who God is. They move in God's world, but yet they can't find him out. But he's made a promise to a people that he would give them a heart to know him. There's been this promise. And you know, down through the years, there's a promise that's been fulfilled. There are those that know God. We live in a day today, there's some people that knows him. And if time goes on tomorrow, there's going to be some people that knows him because he's given them this knowledge. And he's given people this knowledge all down through the years. You start in the Bible and you go through it, and he's given people this knowledge. His promises fulfilled. Without that of divine teaching, without God's instruction and his illumination, and without a new heart, man can't find God. It takes that of God's teaching. It takes that of a new heart. Man has eyes, but yet he can't see God. He has ears, but he can't hear God. Job said this, a seeing eye and a hearing ear, God has made both. If you see him, God's given you that eye. If you hear him, God's given you that ear. The Bible says that man by nature doesn't seek after God. He doesn't desire God. Now what if he just left in that position? What if God had not dealt with us? What if he not opened our eyes? What if he just left us in the condition that we came into this world. And the Bible says there's none that seeks Him. No, not one. Now, I've had people dispute me, or dispute the Scriptures, or didn't dispute me, but dispute the Scriptures. But that's what it says. There's none that seeketh after God. That's the natural man. He doesn't. But here in our passage of Scripture, it says, God says, I'll give a people, I'll give them that of a heart to know me. I think that a person with that of a reasonable knowledge, with that of reasoning, can look and see that there's a Creator. I mean, we know it's denied all over the place, but yet I believe a person can look and see that there's a Creator. Many people speak of a supreme being. But what we're talking about here is far more. It's a heart to know Him, to see Him, who He is, that He's Jehovah. And there's none besides Him. To know Him in His person, who He is. Christ says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And know Him as a just God. He deals justly. Know Him as a holy God. Holy. The Bible speaks of Him as a God of love. He's truth. The Bible says He's God of all grace. It says He has all power. The Bible says He doesn't wink at sin. Said He can't look upon iniquity. He can't spare the guilty. And it brings us to this, that we are not to invent a God, but obey the God that is revealed unto us in the Word. We're not to set a God of our imagination, but believe the God of the Scriptures, the one that is revealed. He says, I am Jehovah and there's none else. I am the Lord. Now this knowing Him is a personal knowledge. It's that of the heart. I'll give them a heart to know me. That heart goes after God. That heart desires God. It looks to Him. It's one that trusts Him. Trust in the Lord. And again, we're to do that at all times too, aren't we? We to look to Him. Now, we also expect from Him. Do you expect from the world or do you expect from God? There's a lot of difference there, aren't there? In looking toward God and expecting from Him and receiving from Him. It means that we speak to Him, we call upon Him, we look to Him. By the Spirit, He's revealed unto us. We know His voice. We know that of His voice, and we hear His voice. And here again is a difference that as we look at the things of the Lord, we're glad for His presence. We come together and ask for His presence, don't we? And joy in it that He's with us. He brings comfort to our souls. We need comfort as we live in this world. We delight in Him. I think about Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It says all spiritual blessings, didn't it? You come behind, He blesses you with all. He speaks and He tells us that we're His. We read the scriptures and it tells us that He's redeemed us. Now, a lot of people look at Calvary. They look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And they look at it in different ways. But I see it as one way. I see the Lord dying for His people. I see Him shedding His blood to put away His people's sins. I read the scriptures and it's, "I redeemed you." Is that how you read it? "I redeemed you." Read it. "He redeemed me." And that's what He was doing. One of my favorite scriptures is that of Jeremiah 31. He says, "I've loved you with what? An everlasting love." Everlasting. There's no time He's not going to love you if you're His. He's loved you from eternity, hadn't He? And He's going to go on loving you through all eternity. "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Then what has He done? He says, I've drawn you to that of myself. Now, a lot of people, they're drawn to this and they're drawn to that. The Lord draws to Himself. He draws to Himself. I give Him a heart to know me. There's a man, and they say that his day was that a very irreligious. His name was Enoch. But the scripture says that he walked with God. Now his day was, I don't know where it's much different from today or not. A lot of people talk about, well, this is most evil day. I don't know. I sin is pretty much the same all down through the years. I don't know about those things. But yet he said he walked with God, didn't he, in his day. God gave him a heart to know Him. He walked with Him. Along with Him. Oh, that we might. The Bible talks about two together, side by side, walking together. There's another man by the name of Abraham. And God wrote something by his name that's going to be throughout all eternity. You know what he wrote beside of his name? "Abraham is my" what? "Friend." Well, that's something to have written beside of your name for all eternity. Abraham's my friend. I tell you, he had a heart to know him, know God. Now, notice it says heart. Now, a lot of people get confused over the heart. It's not that which pumps the blood. This is your innermost part of your being, is your heart. And it says a heart to know me. It's not the head, but it's the heart. And we have to have a new heart. Because the old heart is set upon sin. The old heart wants a God that it can fashion that of its own imagination. The psalmist said one time, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether as thyself." And I'm persuaded that's how most people see God. It takes a new heart to see him, to marry him, that he's the just one, he's the faithful one, the wise one, the true one, that is the gracious one, is the long-suffering one, he's the holy one. Isaiah saw him, and holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I heard someone say one time that the word holy has to do with W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. He's the whole one. He's one of perfection. He's one of completeness. By the way, he's the sovereign God. He's one can. One of the things I learned very early was, and it comes from A.W. Pink, God's sovereign. He can do as he pleases, when he pleases, and how he pleases, and with anyone he pleases. And the scripture speaks along this line that all is in his hand. The psalmist said, "O God, thou art my God." This God is ours forever and ever. He's our guide even unto death. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Psalmist says, "My portion." "I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me my people." There are those that acknowledge him. He's given them a heart to know him. They have affection toward him. They love him. David says, "I love the word," too, didn't he? "I love the Lord and I love the word." He says, "He heard my voice and my supplication." It's a wonderful thing when you've cried unto the Lord and he hears your voice. He hears your supplication. The psalmist said, "He's my rock." Those that know him, they know him as a rock. He's solid. He's the foundation. He's the fortress. He's the deliverer. He delivered us. He's our strength. The psalmist says, "I will trust him." He says, "He's my buckler." He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. And I say this, when God is known, He is loved. I remember reading a story, and it comes to my mind now. And said one of the older gentlemen in the church said he is weeping. He said the brethren didn't know what was wrong with him. He said they gathered around him. They put their arms around him and says, "Brother, says, what's causing you to weep? What's the problem?" He said he looked at him in a quivering voice and he says, "I can't love my Lord enough. I can't love him enough." And we were to weep over that. We don't love him enough. The Bible says he's the fairest of 10,000. He's altogether lovely. And I tell you, when you love him, you're going to seek to glorify him. You want the glory to go to him. I've been in services before and years ago, and it seemed to me like the preacher wanted all the attention. He wore a red coat and he had a red Bible. And he talked about himself all the time. And the church gave him some money on a Friday night, and on a Saturday night he said, "I was offered 3 times that much to go to Ohio to preach. Like, if I knew that I was just going to get this, I would have went on to Ohio." But as God's preachers seek his glory, they seek his glory. They want him to be glorified. They believe. He says, "I give unto them a heart to know me." And that is to believe in him. And, you know, we live in a day that people say, "Well, I believe," and tomorrow they might not believe, and next year they might believe, and the next year they might not believe, and so forth and so on. The word "believe" means this, that you are glued to him. You're stuck to him. If you really believe, you're glued to him. If you really believe last year, you're going to believe this year. And if you believe this year, really believe, you're going to believe next year. I believe it's Gardner Spring said this at one time. I don't know if I can get the quote right or not, but I read it. And he said, "If you don't believe now, you never did believe. If you claim to believe." The psalmist says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." I like that. Fixed. It's a knowledge that'll never be taken away. It's a knowledge that's going to last through eternity. And what a precious knowledge it is. "I'll give them a heart to know me." And I ask you today, what is all the knowledge in the world compared to this? Now, how necessary is it? The Bible says the beginning is the beginning of wisdom. It's also the end of wisdom. It's the only way of peace. Scripture says, "Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace." Get acquainted with him. It doesn't say, "Acquaint thyself with the world and be at peace." It doesn't say, "Acquaint thyself with a friend or friends and be at peace." And it doesn't say acquaint thyself with religion and be at peace. But he said acquaint thyself with myself and be at peace. I am satisfied that many people are counting upon the scriptures being wrong. I run across people, and recently one they say, well, what Paul wrote is just Paul's opinion. And I know you've run across people like that. What Paul wrote is what God told him to write. What Paul wrote comes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know how you can accept one thing he wrote and not the other things that he wrote. But a lot of people's counting on the Bible being wrong. But what the scripture says about God is true. What it says about Christ is true. What it says about the Holy Spirit is true. What this scripture says is true. Everything that it says. And there's going to be a big difference. And there is this big difference where a person is a friend of God or a foe of God. And it's most important that one acquaint themselves with God and be at peace. Young people, that's the best acquaintance that you can ever have, is to get acquainted with a God. That goes for everyone here. To get acquainted with Him. There's no peace outside of Him. He's the quickening spirit. When He quickens us, there's a desire to know Him. We feel like there's so much more to know, don't we? I feel like I've just scratched maybe the very surface, and I wonder sometimes if I've even scratched the surface. To know Him. The Bible even says that if all things that the Lord done, He'd fill up the world with books if it's written down. What about that? To know Him. I suggest to you this is the most excellency knowledge that one could have. I'm more concerned about that than anything else. People talk about, over in Galatians, they talk about idols. Men have their idols, and they have their days, and they have their months, and they have their times and years and all of that, and it calls it weak and beggarly ailments. He says, turn from it. Turn from it. Oh, for this knowledge that God gives of Himself. Gives us knowledge, we trust Him. You can't trust an unknown God. You have to know Him. It's a heart that has faith. Hebrews tells us about faith. And the Bible says those that have faith also have what? Works, good works. Paul wrote, and he says, walk worthy of the Lord, to bring fruit to His glory. We might have fruitful lives. I say to you today that this knowledge of God, it affects one's life. I don't think you can know Him and it not affect you. It changes one's life. Many people, they say, well, I know God, and there's no change in their lives. But it changes. When they know Him, it changes the course of life. It changes the desires of life. It has a sanctifying influence upon life. This knowledge sets one apart from that of the world. When you have this knowledge, you desire to be more like Him. Oh, just look at our Lord. Look at Him. Paul made a statement one time, and he says, follow me. As I follow the Lord. If you and I was making that, I'd say follow the Lord. But Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. That's something great about his life. Something great that he'd tell people, says, you follow me as I follow the Lord. We do worship Him, praise Him. There's His goodness and His mercy and grace. And we gather in our churches, in this church, in our church, we don't gather to the praise of man. But we gather to praise the Lord and give Him the glory. And I say this today, that He deserves far more than what we give Him. I think about myself, and we just fall so short, don't we? So short. He deserves far more than we give Him. I get aggravated at myself. I criticize myself. I call myself names. Oh, today, what he deserves. And how far short we come. We know him. We go to him. Well, let's see. Do we always just live on the up and up? Everything's just so good and fine. Do we ever get down? I tell you, if you get down, we need to go to Him. Do we ever have any trouble? Scripture said like this, said man's a few days and full of troubles, didn't it? But go to Him. Do we ever have any trials? We go to Him. There's the very storms of life. There's the battles of life. We'd go to Him. I give Him a heart to know me. I am the Lord. This is a divine work. When you think about this work, it's divine. He says, I'll give it to them. Only the Creator can give you a new heart. You can't give yourself a new eye, and you can't give yourself a new hand. You can't give yourself a new ear, and you can't give yourself a new heart. Man talks about all that he can do, and he can go to the moon, he can walk on the moon. John Glenn did this. He died this past week. But when it comes to spiritual things, God has to give, doesn't he? He has to give them. The dead can't raise themselves. They have to be quickened. They have to be given life. You can't give yourself a new heart. God has to give it to you. He must do it. We have the promises in the Scriptures, and He's the only one that can give a new heart. I thought about this. If one cries out for a new heart, you know what that is? That's a cry of life, isn't it? One wants a new heart, desires a new heart. That's life. And if those that have this heart, how thankful they need to be and bless God. Those that know Him, there's a change of life. Those that know Him live and die with that knowledge. Those that know Him, it begins on earth and goes through eternity. Those that know Him, this is more precious and more valuable than all the world. This knowledge of Him saves the soul and comes with it all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Here He is. I will give them a heart to know Me. I am the Lord, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God. Heart knowledge. I believe our time is up, isn't it? I see some people coming in back there. We'll stop here. Okay. I think I need one. Yeah.